And good Saturday morning and happy Easter weekend. Yesterday, Good Friday, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fishing day of the year across the Gulf South, and we're going to be getting some live reports for you. Also, good luck to the Louisiana Youth Turkey Hunters. That's taking place today and tomorrow. Actually kicked off yesterday, and I had one of those youths with me. My grandnephew, Drew Dubuque, who I would love to have had on the show with me this morning to talk about the great hunt we had. He bagged a 10.5-inch beard on a beady-eyed bird yesterday. And a special announcement about him, too, we want to make. But unfortunately, he's hunting again this morning, as a lot of you are hunting and fishing on Saturday mornings. He's doing the same thing. Well, we'll talk more about him in turkey season just a little bit later on, because it does open for everyone else in Louisiana next Saturday, which is a late start. And if you don't like that, well, you may not like next year's new regulation that was adopted, and you might not have been paying attention to a big change in the turkey hunting here in Louisiana. And we're going to talk about just how many Louisiana turkeys are being killed, what the real population status is, and I think that answer depends on which Department of Wildlife and Fisheries turkey management press release you believe is true. I'll explain Louisiana's mixed reports when it comes to the turkey dilemma a little bit later on. Alabama has announced its red snapper opening date. We also have had a potential world record grass carp that was pulled from Louisiana waters. We'll tell you how and where it was landed. The New Orleans City Park Big Bass Rodeo held last weekend. Boy, some great fish were caught. We'll talk more and get complete report from Captain Eric Mohabarak. He was one of the participants in that event. Bad boys, well, we got the case of the three froggers turned boat rustler stooges. That's going to be coming up a little bit later on. Got those live fishing reports from our field staff, your reports, your comments, your questions. Send them to us, 504-260-1870. That is our in-studio text message board. We'd love to hear from you. You know, Monday is April Fool's Day. And this morning, throughout the next 2 hours, you are going to hear excerpts from an April Fool's prank that took place 30 years ago on this radio show. And that's not an April Fool joke. Here's how it all started 30 years ago on April 2nd, 1994.
You're listening to Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Now, back to Don.
Right there,
going crazy here this morning. Tearing them apart. Yeah, that's me, folks. Hard to believe as it is. That's me. Been talking with an agent who would like me to maybe take a little trip up to Nashville and become a recording star. And I don't know. It's very tempting. I've only had one person that is backing me on this thing. Everyone else has been kind of discouraged. I don't know whether it's because they don't want me to leave this job or because they really don't have the confidence in me. I don't know. If you've got an opinion on it, give me a call. Help me make this decision.
And there you go. That was the April Fool's start of a prank. And, well, some people that were listening fell for it. Others had criticisms about it. And some had a lot of fun with it. You'll be hearing some more of those excerpts throughout the show. And also, again, we invite you to comment on our text line at 504-260-1870. Look at your forecast for today if you're headed out turkey hunting or fishing. Great conditions. Light winds southeast, 5 to 10, 2 foot if you're headed offshore. Interior, that 5 to 10 out of the southeast presents a light chop. Your average tide range, over a foot, 1.1, and got some good water temperatures warming up. Lake Pontchartrain's at 69 degrees. Gulf waters in the close-in areas are at 70. The stage is set for a good fishing and turkey hunting weekend, and hope you get to enjoy some of it. We'll be right back to help you do that after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
You're trying to be nice, Beverly.
I know.
You're trying to put this very nicely.
Let me tell you what, my first impression was you were flat.
Flat? Come on, man. It wasn't that bad.
You came over flat. Maybe I didn't hear it well enough, but You sounded a little bit flat.
Well, do you listen to much music?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're coming from, you know where you're coming from then, huh?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's about some of these people don't want to get on the air. I guess that's about 4 or 5 to zero. Nobody so far has really encouraged me to do it, so.
But I would say that if this guy was a professional and he thinks you have potential, mm-hmm. and he wants you to go, if he was a professional and does see potential in you, then I would say try it.
Mm-hmm.
But you better have a lot of money before you go up there.
What you're hearing there is some excerpts from a show. This program we did 30 years ago, April 2nd, 1994. I went on vacation and went to one of these little recording studios where they have the backup singers. I guess it was before karaoke, but similar to it. And I recorded Margaritaville and decided to come back and offer the audience my chance to go to Nashville. And these are some of the comments that you're hearing from some of the people that called. We had so many, we had to pick a few of them. I'm going to let you hear from Marie right now. Here's what Marie had to say about it.
Repeat everything she said, but I get up every Saturday morning and don't have to, just listen to you and see what you have to say. And last Saturday, I heard you say you were going to do this today.
Uh-huh.
I definitely had to crawl out of bed just to see what you were going to make up your mind to do.
Well, I haven't decided
and I
yet.
And I look forward to see where all the fish are biting and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So. But you can understand my point. The opportunity go to Nashville is big time, right?
Oh, yeah, but
you don't think I can make it either, do you?
Oh, I'm not saying that, but I think you're better off where you are.
Well, the grass is always greener, they say, you know?
They think,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times after you jump the fence, it's not.
Well, I'm going to give it some more thought, but I want to thank you for your suggestion.
You're really going to make your mind today?
I'm going to make my mind up before I go off the air, yeah.
Okay,
Marie.
If you do go, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to hear some more of those comments from a 30-year-old April Fool prank. A lot of people bought into it, which kind of surprised me, but you're going to hear some other comments from some of the others, so I hope you'll stay with us for the whole couple of hours that we're here this morning. All right, we're going to get some fishing reports coming in, but I do have some text messages. Let's see what we got here. Butch is checking in with us. Butch is the bridge operator down at Wycloski, which is the one you cross Bayou Lutre, and you take a left to go to Shell Beach, you take a right to go to Hopedale. He says, please spread the word. There's no more scheduled openings at the bridge. It opens on request till further notice. All right, and here's the Steel Man checking in, reporting en route to the Wrigley's. Going to chase the Silver Wonders. That's also what some people call speckled trout. He says, are you familiar with releaseover20.org? Steel Man has decided that being a leader on the Louisiana leaderboard is a worthwhile pursuit. Hopefully I'll get a couple to add in today. I have to check that out, releaseover20.org. I'm sure that's got something to do with our new regulation where you can only keep 2 speckled trout over 20 inches and all the rest have to be released. All right, let's see. We got the backstrap stacker. He's in Clark County, Alabama. They got a few toms on the roost, hoping one cooperates on this beautiful morning. Hope everyone has a wonderful Easter. Well, I got to tell you, my hunt with my nephew Drew was nothing short of spectacular. There was very light winds, gobbling all around us, everywhere. It started off, I did an owl hoot before daylight, and the owl answered me. And when the owl answered me, a gobbler answered him. And we took off in that direction. We set up, and at 7:53, Drew pulled the trigger on one of 2 nice big toms. Beautiful birds came in all puffed up, strutting red, white, and blue colors. Coming in at our decoys, we had a Jake in the decoys, which, you know, he killed his first turkey last year after hunting with me for 4 years, and it was a Jake. And I told him, you got to hunt with us big boys now, no more Jakes. And we had a Jake came in, was in easy range, and I know he wanted to shoot it, but I held him off, and he was glad we did, because if he had shot that bird, those 2 gobblers would not have come in. And he was very proud of it. He's back hunting again this morning. I tell you, I'm really proud of Drew because he will be accepting an award. You know, the Louisiana Wildlife Federation and the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries team up to present the Youth Hunters of the Year. And this year, because it was put off because of COVID, they decided to give the award to 2 male Youth Hunters of the Year and 2 female Youth Hunter of the Year. They judge it this year. They had 37 entries. And the way they enter it is they have to write stories of their adventures. of their hunt. And it has nothing to do with the size of the animal. In fact, they don't even have to make a kill. The judges judge it on the story and the experience that they had and who they shared it with and their memories of it. And Drew and Blaze Coco were selected as the male youth hunters of the year. And the two female hunters of the year were Lizzie Fry and Paisley Stevenson. And there will be an award presentation at the 58th Annual Conservation Achievement Awards Banquet in Baton Rouge on Saturday, April the 12th. Oh, is that Friday? That's a Friday, April the 12th. And Drew will receive his award there. They each get a $100 reward from gift card from Academy. And they also, you know, get the honor and they get a plaque, a presentation of being Hunter of the Year. And then he started off this turkey season yesterday during the first day of youth season with bagging another gobbler. So he's well on his way. I'm going to talk more about the Louisiana turkey season because I'm confused on exactly the status of our population and are we doing the right things with these more restrictive regulations. We'll do that when we come back, and we'll hear also some more comments from some of our listeners from a 30-year-old show where we pulled an April Fool prank on our listeners. Back with that after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
What say, bud?
Well, what you think?
Well, I tell you, the you know, anytime that there's a career move in the works, there's a lot of decisions to make. And I was just thinking, you know, nobody listens to your show, nobody watches your TV program, and nobody reads your articles. I think you ought to go for it.
I'm glad. There we go. We finally got one. That's the kind of way I've been feeling about this thing.
Right.
You know, it's lonely out there with nobody listening. Maybe you and Paul Rossi and four or five other people. Ronnie Wayne, our producer, he listens. John Brett, he has to listen. I make him listen. He's back there working our telephones this morning.
Yeah, I was just sitting here making some decisions on my own. The I've probably got potential as being a bus driver. You know, maybe I could drive your tour bus. I know Rossi's on hold. It's possible he could be your stage manager. He could sell out his store. No telling where this will have to go.
Well, some folks thought I might be able to have a future in singing in Nashville. I don't know. What do you think? We'll hear from some more of those a little bit later on. But right now we're going to hear from Blaine Salter, get a freshwater fishing report. And Blaine, yesterday, Good Friday, it's a big, big fishing day. That and the day after Christmas, two of the biggest fishing days of the year in Louisiana. What are people finding out there with this lovely weather we've been having?
I tell you what, it's been a pretty good 2 weeks. I just made it back. I've been on my tour. I did four shows in 5 weeks, so exhausted would be the would not be the understatement. But I've got some good reports. Believe it or not, from Falls River, out and throughout the Chenal Canal, and out and in the mouth of the Chenal, and on the north end and the south end flats. If you have some depth finders or some things called live scope and you find those brush piles, they are catching some fish in Falls River again, and they're beautiful sacale in there, believe it or not. It seems like it's coming back, but the normal areas, the Jack Miller's, Bay Natchez, we call it White Castle, the canal is across from there, that they are catching beautiful males that are still dark. Now you go figure, and you tell me if they're still spawning or they if the spawn is over, they should be moving into a post spawn pattern, but they're catching them under a cork and still in 3 to 4 feet of water. So they're starting to move to that post spawn. They're moving out deep again. So, and Lake Verrett, that area, the lake is holding fish. On the laydowns, they're not doing too much in the canals like Crackerhead and so forth. It's more in the lake, so it's time to get out there and go. This is the time. You know, it looks like we had a little cool front move in. It looks like we're gonna have some bluebird days coming up. So go with a light bait, the smallest bait you can find. So if they are a little tight nip, they can get that smaller bait in their mouth. But I'm getting some great reports from those areas. And I'll be heading to East Texas next weekend, so I'm going to catch some big reservoir fish for once. And then I'll see you here real soon at the little promotion coming up.
Yeah, next Saturday, I hope to see you over at Marsh and Bayou. You can give us a report there, and I know you can demonstrate the Salter's jig and pole technique to customers there who may not be familiar. We want to invite them to come by in Mandeville at the Marsh and Bayou store. We'll be doing the show from there. You know, Blaine, when we turn the corner in April, my thoughts start going to some of those big brim that start showing up, like the chinkapins, the goggle eye, and the bluegills. What can you tell us? Any early reports on those yet?
I haven't got any reports on bluegill. I've got some buddies that are going to hit Old River real hard this weekend, and you can still get in that ballpark area, so they're bringing crickets. But we're hoping to find some big sackalay in Old River this weekend. So I'm waiting for a report back from a couple good buddies, and Old River should be just about right. You know, we have a slight fall starting in that Mississippi River, so I bet my bottom dollar next weekend that spillway is going to be hot, too, because as soon as that river starts to fall, it's on, and it's going to be a slow, steady fall, so that's going to be real good. It should hold, the fishing should heat up next.
What's that, bud?
Well, what you think?
Well, I tell you, the you know, anytime that there's a career move in the works, there's a lot of decisions to make, and I was just thinking, you know, nobody listens to your show. Nobody watches your TV program, and nobody reads your articles. I think you ought to go for it.
I'm glad. There we go. We finally got one. That's the kind of way I've been feeling about this thing.
Right.
You know, it's lonely out there with nobody listening. Maybe you and Paul Rossi and four or five other people. Ronnie Wayne, our producer, he listens. John Brett, he has to listen. I make him listen. He's back there on working our telephones this morning.
Yeah, I was just sitting here making some decisions on my own. I've probably got potential as being a bus driver. You know, maybe I could drive your tour bus. I know Rossi's on hold. It's possible he could be your stage manager. He could sell out his store. No telling where this will have to go.
Well, some folks thought I might be able to have a future in singing in Nashville. I don't know. What do you think? We'll hear from some more of those a little bit later on. But right now we're going to hear from Blaine Salter, get a freshwater fishing report. And, Blaine, yesterday, Good Friday, it's a big, big fishing day. That and the day after Christmas, two of the biggest fishing days of the year in Louisiana. What are people finding out there with this lovely weather we've been having?
I tell you what, it's been a pretty good 2 weeks. I just made it back. I've been on my tour. I did four shows in 5 weeks, so exhausted would be the would not be the understatement. But I've got some good reports. I got some good reports, believe it or not, from Falls River, out and throughout the Chenal Canal and out and in the mouth of the Chenal and on the north end and the south end flats. If you have some depth finders or some things called live scope and you find those brush piles, they are catching some fish in Falls River again, and they're beautiful sackalay in there, believe it or not. It seems like it's coming back, but the normal areas, the Jack Millers, Bay Natchez, we call it White Castle, the canals across from there, that they are catching beautiful males that are still dark. Now you go figure. You tell me if they're still spawning or they, if the spawn is over, they should be moving into a post-spawn pattern, but they're catching them under a cork and still in 3 to 4 feet of water. So they're starting to move to that post-spawn. They're moving out deep again. So, and Lake Verrett, that area, the lake is holding fish. On the laydowns, they're not doing too much in the canals like Crackerhead and so forth. It's more in the lake, so it's time to get out there and go. This is the time. You know, it looks like we had a little cool front move in. It looks like we're gonna have some bluebird days coming up. So go with a light bait, the smallest bait you can find. So if they are a little tight nip, they can get that smaller bait in their mouth. But I'm getting some great reports from those areas. And I'll be heading to East Texas next weekend, so I'm going to catch some big reservoir fish for once. And then I'll see you here real soon at the little promotion coming up.
Yeah, next Saturday, I hope to see you over at Marsh and Bayou. You can give us a report there, and I know you can demonstrate the Salter's jig and pole technique to customers there who may not be familiar. We'll want to invite them to come by in Mandeville at the Marsh and Bayou store. We'll be doing the show from there. You know, Blaine, when we turn the corner in April, my thoughts start going to some of those big brim that start showing up, like the chinkapins, the goggle eye, and the bluegills. What can you tell us? Any early reports on those yet?
I haven't got any reports on bluegill. I've got some buddies that are going to hit Old River real hard this weekend, and you can still get in that ballpark area. So they're bringing crickets. But we're hoping to find some big sackalay in Old River this weekend. So I'm waiting for a report back from a couple good buddies. And Old River should be just about right. You know, we have a slight fall starting in that Mississippi River. So I bet my bottom dollar next weekend that spillway is going to be hot, too. Because as soon as that river starts to fall, it's on. And it's going to be a slow, steady fall. So that's going to be real good. It should hold. The fishing should heat up next weekend big time. You probably won't need a boat in the spillway. You could probably just step off the launch into the boats and follow it right on down to the crossover canal and Bayou Pigeon, because it should be packed next weekend.
Yeah, we're getting into the prime time, and, you know, people love to get out this time of the year. It's still kind of cool, and it's amazing, Blaine, how our fishing is dictated by the rise and fall of the Mississippi River and then down on the lower coast tidal fishing. You know, a lot of people that fish in North Louisiana, Toledo Bend, and a lot of those Lake Sardis and all over in Mississippi, they have no idea what tide does and how it affects fishing. But if you fish down the coast, you know.
Well, I'm still looking for somebody. You know, I asked Dad for years when we fished. He didn't even go when we had rising water. I mean, I don't know what it does to a sackler or most fisheries, but I tell you what, it just turns them off. I guess that fall triggers, you know, their bait patterns are coming out of the water's falling, so the runouts are running and you got moving water heading south. So catching fish in rising water is still a mystery to me. If somebody could teach me, I tell you, we would retire real soon.
Yes, indeed. It brings back memories of your dad. All right, Joel, JB. Well, Blaine, we look forward to seeing you next week at Martian Bayou. Get some rest between now and then, man. You've been running hard. You need it.
Oh, will do. Look forward to seeing you, Don.
All righty. Blaine Salter, the Salter's Jig and Poles. Come see us over at Martian Bayou. We'll be doing the show and hanging around later and come enjoy some of the food and door prizes, and they're going to have some real super deals over there. All right, we come back after this. You're going to hear the my singing that we pulled an April Fool prank to the audience. Had a lot of them convinced I was really on the fence about whether to leave radio at that stage and go become a star in Nashville. You'll hear one of those renditions of Margaritaville. Also got more fishing reports coming up to talk about the Alabama red snapper season and some serious talk about Louisiana's turkey season. Where the heck are we? We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Now, back to Don.
I blew out my flip-flop, stepped on a pop top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home.
You know, the more I hear it, the more I like it.
But there's booze in the blender.
Oh, yeah.
And soon it will render.
That's great to wake up to.
That frozen concoction that helps me.
Yeah, that's he's got it.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Oh, yeah.
Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault.
And that's what we were doing 30 years ago on April Fool weekend. The actual show in itself was submitted for competition, and it won the Southeast Outdoor Press Association's number one radio show of the year. It was a prank. I went on a vacation up around St. Louis and went into one of these places and recorded that and decided to have a little fun with it, and when a fun we had. And someone, one of our listeners who was there back then, remembered that, and they sent me a text a couple of weeks ago talking about, wonder what would have happened if you would have went the other way and pursued your other opportunity. And clicked the memory back, and I think I have an idea who it was, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and we're going to be back to talk about the red snapper season. Also, we're going to talk some turkey this morning right here After you listen to this 10-second rejoin for our stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, here's a comment. It says, Don singing sounds, maybe you could get Coon Feet to back you up. That's from Big Mike. Coon Feet, Raccoon Feet, as he's also known, is Captain Eric Mohabrock, who we're going to be talking to next hour. He competed in the New Orleans City Park Boats on the Bayou competition, the kayaks fishing in the Bayou St. John, part of that bass rodeo. And he's got a full report. We're also hearing from Lafitte LT. He says, I hope to provide you with a Lafitte fishing report next week. But this week, he's looking to find one for myself. And he wants to give out a congratulations to my nephew, Drew. And Drew will be honored as the 2023 Youth Hunter of the Year. He, along with three other youths, two girls and another boy, Blaze Coco, and the girls, was Paisley. What was Paisley's last name? Stevenson and Lizzie Fry. We're glad to hear their stories. The way that works is they go on a hunt, and then they write a story and submit some pictures about it, and then a panel of judges selects the ones who it's judged on their passion for the sport, what they learned, their experience, who they shared it with, and it has nothing to do with the biggest beard on a turkey or the biggest rack on a deer or the most number of ducks and that type of thing. It's all about the quality of the experience, and it's going to be very interesting. That'll be on April the 12th in Baton Rouge at Boudreaux's. It's the Louisiana Wildlife Federation's. They give the conservation awards. In addition to that, they present the youth awards. So we're looking forward to that. All right, if you fish red snapper over in the Alabama area, they've announced their season. Here in Louisiana, boy, we got an April 15th early opening. It's going to be a seven-day-a-week season, four red snapper per person. We're very happy with that. Got nearly a million-pound quota before it shuts down. Well, Alabama, the quota and the opening date was set. They will open on May 24th, Friday, and it will be four-day weekends, Friday through Monday, until the angler quota is reached. Also, the whole week of July 1st through 5th is going to be open for red snapper fishing. I don't think they'll reach the quota, although that has not been announced yet. Now, last year, Alabama, I feel, really got shortchanged. They only had 591,185-pound quota for 2023. They're hoping to get a bigger quota for 2024. I think it's well warranted. It all depends on the numbers. You know, they've gone to, like, here in Louisiana, we started it. We call ours a little different. They call it snapper check, and it monitors the fish, the landings during the season. They got weekly updates, and when the quota's reached, they shut it down. And last year, they had a little over half a million pound quota, which red snapper for Alabama is a choice fish. It's a big industry over there, and hopefully they'll get a much more generous quota set for their red snapper season. All right, let's see. We got some more texts coming in. My old buddy Wingbone. Now, Wingbone's the one in Alabama, Ed. He came out to our broadcast over there and gave us a little demonstration on his Wingbone calls that he makes. And Wingbone, I'm hoping to call a turkey in with my Wingbone call this year. I didn't use it yesterday. I used a combination of calls, box call, mouth call, and also another one. It's I call it the pine cone call. Maybe people have a different name for it, but it worked. And although Wingbone had one, but he could not get him in gun range. Boy, that's frustrating. I've been there many times, Wingbone. Just got to keep at it. All right, we got Captain Ross L. He's reporting from down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures, where he works with Ryan Lambert's gang. He had a high school buddy went with him, and his dad and the brother out. They had their limit by 8 o'clock. Then they did some catch and release. Hope everyone has a wonderful Easter. I'm assuming you're talking redfish, Captain Ross L. And thanks for that report. He kind of checks in with us each and every week. All right, if you want to shoot us a text, 504-260-1870. And here's one said, had that prank been real, it would have been our loss. Well, thank you for saying that, but there really wasn't any chance that it was going to happen. But as you will hear down the road, a lot of people fell for it, and a lot of people joined in on the prank, too. So we'll hear from some of those coming back right after this. We also got some more fishing reports, and we're going to talk turkey. I know a lot of you turkey hunters are riding to the field right now, getting ready to listen for those birds. I'm going to tell you about Louisiana's turkey. I call it a dilemma. It's hard to read what the population status is if you follow the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery releases. We'll be back to do that after this on Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Got two questions.
Okay.
We got to get a name, okay?
I got a name.
You know what? Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's got to have a Billy Ray or a Jim Bob or a Tom Ed in it.
You got a point there. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. Maybe we'll hold a contest, you know, and let people send in the best name, and then we'll give some kind of prize or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Now we got to get you a hairstylist. You got to have one of those dudes that come down in the back.
You talking about a ponytail?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The thing.
I don't know if I like that idea.
Well, you got to have one of those with a cowboy hat.
Ah, okay. Now with a cowboy hat, can it be attached to the hat?
Oh, no, it's got to be the real stuff.
Okay.
It's got to be real stuff.
Well, I'll get started on that. I'll start growing now. I'm going to start it growing, and maybe in about 4 or 5 years I'll have it where I got a ponytail.
Well, I'm ready.
And that, of course, was Paul Rossi, owner of the Lone Oak Grocery, quite a good bass fisherman up around the Baton Rouge area, also became a manufacturer's rep, and did some field reporting for us for a while, and was egging us on to take the job in Nashville and leave the radio. We'll hear some more. We're going to hear from Tisa and Renee and also Jimmy, and also the final decision that we pulled off on April 2nd, 1994. All right, the day before the youth turkey season opened in Louisiana, which was yesterday, and so the day before, a lot of notice. They sent out a press release from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery announcing the dates, and also the dates on the regular season, which will be running April 6th through the 5th in Area A, Area B, April 6th to the 28th, and in Area C, April 6th to the 21st. There's a lot of confusion. You know, somebody commented to me the other day, said, you know, they're doing everything they can to keep us from killing turkeys. They've shortened the season. They've shortened the bag limit. They've moved the season back, which is the biggest detriment, because the peak of the gobbling is right about now while this youth season opened. And I don't know of any season that is time-specific as turkey is. I mean, it's very specific that gobbling time, and if you don't get in there when they're gobbling, it's so difficult. Then you become like deer hunting. You're just hoping one walks in front of you. And they've moved it back. They've cut it back. They've done all these things. Next year, they're going to eliminate the taking of any jakes, which is an immature male turkey. Right now, they're legal. Unless you're under 18, then you'll still be able to take them. So that's yet another restriction, which I think might put more pressure on the gobblers. My hunting experience yesterday with Drew, had I let him shoot that jake, hunt would have been over. And, you know, there would have been two gobblers still out there breeding hens. But instead, now there's only one gobbler out of that group, and the jake is still running free. So I think that, not that I would take any more jakes. I mean, I've killed enough turkeys where I'm looking for mature birds and actually enjoy calling and setting up and helping other people get their turkeys. But I think it should be up to the hunter. You know, some people who start hunting turkeys later in life, they'd be really happy to be able to shoot a jake. And other people, if they want to pass on it, fine. I think it should be left up to the hunter. But getting back to the restrictions and the reduction of the – they say that the turkey population is in trouble. But yet this release I got yesterday, listen to what it says. The Louisiana turkey harvest in 2023 was higher than average and, in fact, the second best since 2009. Turkey hunters took 2,833 birds in 2023, only down from 2022, which was 2,846. Those numbers are based on tag validation data. Now, listen to this. I also got this part of it where this was actually appeared on their website as far as the turkey numbers. This says the most recent turkey hunter survey, and this was put out in 2023, last year, they estimated 24,200 turkey hunters harvested approximately, get this number, 9,100 turkeys during the spring of 2022. Now, it says both the estimated turkey hunters and the harvest increased significantly from 2021, and the harvest increased 65.5%. Does that sound like a population in trouble? But what's really disturbing are these numbers. They're doing a survey where they're asking people who have turkey tags, turkey licenses, well, how they did, and of course it's statistical, so they get the number, a small number, sample size, and extrapolate it. But they came up with 9,100, but guess what the tag showed for that year? 2,846. That means there were over three times as many turkeys killed as those that were tagged. So if you're a turkey hunter, look yourself in the mirror, because either the survey respondents are lying or the taggers are not tagging their birds. But both of these things can't be true. Theoretically, if every turkey was tagged, you'd have 100% accuracy. But what are they judging this reduced population on? Is it the 9,100 on the survey or the 2,846? And even if it's at that, that is a big increase since 2009. Why are we restricted? And the ultimate question, the last question I have, is what is the measuring stick? What are they using? What data is going to tell the managers, okay, we can move the season back into the gobbling, we can add a third bird back in, we can allow it to leave it up to the hunter whether they want to shoot a jake or not, and maybe divide the state into, we have 10 deer hunting zones, we've only got 3 turkey hunting zones, and it varies greatly whether you hunt. There's some places with good habitat still there. There's plenty of turkeys like where I hunted yesterday, and the gobbling all around proved it. Another place that I hunted for years, there's hardly a turkey back there anymore due to habitat degradation and development and those type of things. So I think we really need to take a long, hard look at turkey management in Louisiana, get the numbers straight, number one, identify the areas that have healthy turkey populations and allow those hunters more days in the field, especially during the gobbling period, and maybe even go back to a more generous limit. Alabama, they've got a limit of 4. Mississippi's got a limit of 3. And we're down to 2. And no, we don't have the same habitat, but we do have some good, a lot of good habitat. And where that habitat's good, turkey populations are good, but the hunters are being penalized. That's my thinking on turkey. Tell me what you think. 504-260-1870. We're going to be back with a Darrell Carpenter Fishing Report on Grand Isle, and we're also going to hear from Tisa, her comments when she heard that I might be leaving radio for a Nashville career in singing 30 years ago on April Fool Day. We're back with that right after this pause.
Hey, to think I've wasted all of these years, 10 years fooling with these slimy old fish and getting out there with dealing with TV personalities. Oh, man, what a mess. Let's see what Tisa thinks. Good morning, Tisa. How's things in Ames?
Oh, things are beautiful here. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just a little torn between this decision I've got to make. It's a very important decision in my life, and I'm relying on you listeners to give me a little bit of advice.
Well, we've been listening to you for a couple of years on Saturday mornings, and we really like you. But if you do decide to go to Nashville, maybe you can get in touch with Roseanne, and y'all can sing at some of those baseball games.
So you mean the national anthem type deal?
Right.
Do a gig with Roseanne, huh?
Y'all kind of sound a little bit alike.
That was Jesus' comment about my April Fool Day prank 30 years ago. Wow, where does the time go? All right, let's bring in Captain Darrell Carpenter. He and I have been doing fishing reports at least 20 years or so. Darrell, how you doing this morning?
You're providing a good laugh this morning, Don. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun doing it, I can tell you that. It was, and I wish I could play the whole show because we had a lot of people that really bought into it. And then there was others that played along with it. Well, what's happening down on the island this spring-like weekend with Easter off and a lot of people going to be heading down to the island, probably the biggest crowd they'll have down there all year so far?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's definitely the start of the summer, so there's going to be more people there. I can tell you that the majority of the week we didn't get to fish. I mean, it stayed 15 to 20 out of the north, northeast, which knocked out the front. You had the low pressure in the Gulf. So it knocked out the beach because it was just way too rough. And then, you know, when you got a northeast wind blowing at 15 and 20, there's nowhere to hide because it blows right down the island. However, toward the end of the week when it laid down, we were able to get out. And, Don, this week, the fish have made their move. We've talked about that. There's fish, you know, they'll be fish in the marsh all summer long. They're just going to get smaller and smaller and everything else. There's fish all over the front, all over the beach. There's fish in the lower bays. The problem is right now you've got to find clean water, and that doesn't exist in a lot of places. The clean water is just off of the Gulf, and we've got to good tide range this weekend. So yesterday, you stayed anywhere close to the lower coast, especially toward the end of that tide cycle or as the tide rose, the water got cleaner and cleaner. If you went north 5 miles across that bay, you ran into stuff that looked like the Mississippi River and the bites fell off. We were able, you know, yesterday we were able to get our limit. We got our limit by early morning. There's a lot of stuff we're having to get used to, man, like this lower trout limit. I can tell you, because I was fishing anywhere near Grand Isle, I killed a lot more fish than the 30 we brought home. Because every you know, all those 12 inches I threw back, there was three dolphin waiting to eat them. So I kind of question that, like you're questioning the turkeys. But, you know, it's only going to get better between now and especially this full moon that's going to come up toward the end of April. Because we just got off a full moon cycle. The fish are full of eggs right now. The egg sacs are getting bigger by the day. There's a whole lot of trout in the lower basin right now, and you just got to find that clean water. And I'm going to tell you, Don, you know, we always go with a backup. In fact, the customers we had yesterday, their number one request was, have plenty of live bait, don't run out. And our first stop of the morning, I handed them two poles with plastic on it. And they're like, what, did you forget the live bait? I'm like, try this first. And you really didn't need the live shrimp. I mean, we were smacking them on shrimp-like baits, those Marker 54s, the Voodoo shrimps. I mean, and typically the plastic was bringing in larger fish than when you went to the live bait. So it's going to be a good summer. We just got to wait and let it develop, and hopefully we keep a reasonable Mississippi River, and we keep some clean water.
Yeah, well, we know it's coming. Grand Isle will be reaching its prime before, you know, any other place along the coast that always typically does do that. Just got to get a little bit of lighter winds and make sure, like you say, that river water doesn't sneak around. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, Darryl, give them your telephone number and your website info.
Well, Don, they can get me on your site at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. RealScreamers.com has a lot of information about our trips. Or they can just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right. We'll talk next week. Thanks for the report, Darryl. We appreciate it. And we're back with our number two after this.